Being in the Light with you. The show where the light and love in me celebrates the light and love in you. Be introduced to amazing individuals that can make a difference in your life. For more information, visit dreamtheanswer.com/links to love. And now, your host, Sean Vinyasa Bilson.
How would you like to cast a spell over your finances? I know I would. Now, this is how my brain thinks here. I picked up this book, and I'm reading it, and it's called Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanney. And as I'm looking at it, and at the back, she asks questions where it says, when it comes to money, are you controlled by fear? Think about that for a sec. There's two more. Do you underestimate your worth? And are you ready to go to the next level but can't seem to get there? Now, in this book description in the back, there is something that jumps off the page at me, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it, and then I'll tell you what it is and see if it's the same for you. So she says, if you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be an under-earner. Under-earners are self-saboteurs who don't live up to their earnings potential, says Barbara Stanley, a financial educator, motivational speaker, and career counselor. Whether they make $10 an hour or six figures a year, they tend to live paycheck to paycheck, are often in debt, and have a high tolerance for low pay. Ironically, many work incredibly hard. The good news is that under-earning is a self-imposed condition. Okay, so that's all I'm going to read. What jumped out at you? I'm going to tell you what jumped out at me. Actually, there's two things. But the first one was, have a high tolerance for low pay. Isn't that something? Okay, and living paycheck to paycheck and being in debt are the other two. So as I'm looking at this book and wanting to talk about it today, all of a sudden, my attention was drawn to this other book, which gave me the idea of cast a spell over your finances. Because when I've asked a question, you know, I don't know if you guys do this, you know, you put out a question to the universe, and then you pick up a book, and you flip over the page to a page, just flip open the book and concentrate on the question. Whatever page you land on, what the story is, should answer your question or give you some kind of insight or a clue as to what the answer is. So this book, it's called Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation by Jess Stern. And yes, it is a very old book. You know that because at the very back of the book, on the back cover, it says The Great Bestseller by Jess Stern. This was published in 1965, before I was even born. Anyway, but I've read this book many times. I just love it. So in this book, I have asked a question and flipped open to the same page two times. And those pages are 235 and 236. I'm not sure if you can get this book in bookstores or online or not anymore, but it's worth checking, and I'm going to Google it when I've posted this podcast. I'm going to see if I can find it and put a link for people, because it definitely is worth reading. Okay, so I'll tell you about the Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation before jumping back to Barbara Stanley. Now, this little story is about a lady named Sybil. And she was a good witch, but she could be known to cast a dark spell. So I'm just paraphrasing here. What happened was a producer didn't pay her for a television appearance that she made. And after trying all normal avenues of getting this producer to pay her, she said to him, if you don't pay me, you shall fall asleep at your desk every afternoon at 3 o'clock. So on the seventh day, the check was in the mail. And then she removed the spell. So Jess Stern asked her, because he's interviewing her, how did you do that? And she said, well, I just thought about it every day at 3 o'clock. And he slept for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, just enough time to let him know that, you know, there has been a spell cast on you and it's working. And then just Dern said that he would have been more impressed if she had woken him up in the middle of the night, say 3 o'clock in the morning, not let him get back to sleep. And then she laughed and said, that would have meant my getting up at 3:02. So, anyway, this woman is not just a good witch, bad witch. She actually had, she's credited for healing people of cancer and other degenerative diseases by just meditating with them on the wholeness of the body from afar. That's what it says on page 236. Okay. So, how can you cast a spell over your finances? This is the connection I want to make because I was guided from this book to that book. I think that you could say every day at 3 o'clock when you're supposed to be having your coffee break, say, for example, that you could sit down and focus on your finances somehow. Now, whether it would be to reverse what she says here about having a high tolerance for low pay, you could say you have a low tolerance for low pay and affirm that and believe it and know it. Or now what, how would a spell work? Could you say to yourself every day at 6 o'clock, I will have to go running to the bathroom if I'm still believing and feeling that I have a high tolerance for low pay? And then you would know, so you could program yourself, say, the night before you go to sleep, say, in your dreams. And then maybe tell you at 6 o'clock at night, too, check in with yourself. But if you find yourself having to run, this, I don't know why I came up with this example, run to the bathroom, then, you know, it might click in, oh, I still have that high tolerance for low pay. But you really don't want to have that, right? You want to change it. And you want to bring it into your awareness. You can say, oh, and I really do need to change this. And the spell can be broken when you really have changed it. Now, I forgot about this until right now. It's coming to my mind to express this story here. I once cast a spell on somebody not knowing that I was doing that. It was a joke. A long time ago, I used to play jokes on people, and I had this one friend, and she was easy to play jokes on. So anyway, what I did was I told people that every night at 9 o'clock, she would sneeze uncontrollably for no reason at all, and we couldn't figure out why. Now, remember, I was just making this up. Well, it turns out right after that, the very next day, I think for about a week until she finally told me, was that every night at 9 o'clock, she would sneeze uncontrollably, and her mom was mad because I had cast a spell on her. And she told her that I cast a spell on her and you need to break it. Well, I had no ideas about casting spells. I was just fooling around. I was just joking. Just made up stories. I used to make up stories about her. I used to tell people that she, in front of her face too, right? She'd be sitting right there with me and we'd meet people we didn't know, so that's why I would do this. And we had the same name. And my name, birth name is Shauna, but most people call me Sean. And actually both names, Sean or Shauna. And so I would tell people that she changed her name to Gerald, her name had been Geraldine, and she changed it to Shauna because she liked my name. Now, she had no way of proving that she hadn't done it. And this is, right? Because her ID is going to say Shauna on it. It's not going to say Geraldine. So, and the funny thing about it was, is these people would believe me. Now, I have no idea why I'd pick on her so much. And, okay, so I did play one more joke on her that's worth mentioning here. Is in school, she had this crush on this guy. And so I had this dream. See, this is the power of dreams. I woke up laughing because I played this joke and had dreamt this joke that I was to play on somebody. And so I'm laying in bed going, who should I play this on? Well, Shauna, of course, right? That's obvious. So I went to school and I told her that this guy that she had a crush on had a glass eye, but I had heard this, but I didn't know which one it was. So for about a week, she would talk to him in the hallway and she'd constantly be looking at his eyes trying to figure out which one was glass. And then she up and asked him one day and he didn't know what she was talking about, right? Because he didn't have a glass eye. Well, so I apologized to her. I said, you know, I couldn't help it. It was a dream that came to me and it was really funny and I wanted to see if you'd fall for it. Now, this woman now, right, not young girl anymore, she is not stupid by any means. She's just fun to play jokes on. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to overcoming under-earning. I'm hoping as I babble on here about Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanley, and she has many other books out there as well, that I'm definitely going to get. On page 5, if you look in the introduction, not that you, and I sound like a teacher, I open up your box to page 5. Oh yeah, she said that this book is designed to, it's a part book, part workbook, and a part journal. So it's a combination of a self-study guide and a bedside diary. It's meant to be an interactive experience, as if you were attending one of my workshops. Because what she did was she had workshops that she, when she was researching back in 2000, because this book was written in 2005, she had Secrets of Six-Figure Women, Surprising Strategies to Up Your Earnings and Change Your Life. She interviewed 154 high earners, and several of them were writers. And then she did workshops to field test what she was learning from those earners. And then this book came out of the workshops. So that's the background. And a quote on that page from one of the people that she's talking about, Jason Beckett, her interview with him, he said, "The fundamental difference for me," he explained, "was to realize that I actually have the power to affect who I am and how I live." So that's awesome. And all through this book is amazing quotes. I like this one right at the beginning in the where she does a parable. "We have enough people who tell it like it is. Now we could use a few who tell it like it could be," by Robert Orban. But anyway, I am going to recommend this book, obviously, and I definitely recommend Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation. I was introduced to that book from a friend of mine way back, oh, long time ago, when I'm, say, maybe 15 or more years. And she had been, oh, maybe 40 pounds overweight. And she got that book, and she slimmed down in no time. She just followed exactly what it said in there and did her yoga, and I saw her transform in record time. Very impressed. I got the book, but I didn't transform myself in record time. Guess I wasn't committed yet. You have to be committed. That's what I've noticed. You have to make a decision and commit to it. And then schedule in the time to do it. Just like you I was noticing it's such a habit just to brush my teeth. I don't even think about it. No, just an automatic thing. So you have to make these changes in your life to be a habit, to be automatic. Automatically, you're going to want to do some yoga or some stretches or 10 minutes of this or that, or follow an eating plan that works with your body, because we're all different, right? I read a lot and I listen to podcasts a lot, and Hay House Radio for sure. I'm constantly in this learning. So as I'm speaking to you, my audience, whoever you are, you'll hear me just say things, and it's coming from a lot of what I've learned, say personally, and what I've been reading. Reading and listening to, and on and on. Okay, so now, let's do this. Cast a spell over your finances. What came to me is that it has to be happy. It has to be fun. It has to feel lighthearted. Like in those stories I was telling you about Shauna. I was feeling happy. There was no maliciousness, no hurtful intention on my part towards her at all. It was just all in fun, and it felt good. So when you're casting a spell over your finances, you're going to want to make it feel good. Right? Now, you might want to do something different than making yourself run to the toilet at 6 o'clock. Maybe you'd like to do what she is, that you'd feel sleepy. But maybe not, because that'll just take away your energy and you won't have the energy you need to do something. So you have to think of something else to cast a spell on yourself to improve your finances. And you can do it. I'd be interested in knowing the ideas that people come up with. So go to my website, dreamtheanswer.com, and I'll have a link. It's links to love, right? dreamtheanswer.com/links to love. And there will be information about this podcast there. And there'll be a link to my Facebook page or Twitter where you can leave your comments. And that would be awesome. So somebody out there is going to have a good idea on how you can cast a spell over your finances. And any other area of your life, really. But right now, today, I'm talking about finances. But she does say that once you start taking control of your finances in that area of life, then it spills over into the other areas as well. You'll be independent. You'll value yourself. And this is a 5-prong plan in this book. At the front, it says a 5-step plan to a richer life. Okay, so that's all I have to say today. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to Being in the Light with You, the show that focuses on amazing individuals to enrich your life. If you like the episode, be sure to share with your friends. Sign up for the newsletter on dreamtheanswer.com and get a bonus podcast and weekly spectacular content to your inbox. This is Being in the Light with You.